Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. That's 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to press quickly on because no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. And a big welcome to the listeners of London-based Colourful Radio, and a very fine radio station it is too. And their listeners should know that those details I've just given are for this show only. Well, it's war in Syria, in the Middle East, across the Muslim world. And if I'm any judge, and I got it right over Iraq, that violence will cascade around the entire globe and will not miss your country or mine. There will be war throughout the world, and starting probably next week. President Obama, with the support of less than 10% of the American people, President François Hollande, a so-called socialist president of France, with the support of 11% of the French, and, of course, that old reliable warmonger, the so-called State of Israel, which was on military maneuvers in the Mediterranean off the coast of Syria with who else? The United States military. After all, the US is paying for both militaries just the other day, firing shells and missiles towards Syria just to test them out. In a remarkable revelation, John Kerry, the man who confessed to committing war crimes in Vietnam, a war in which the United States dropped an ocean of chemical weapons on the people of Vietnam, with, as a result, three generations later, children still being born deformed in the maternity hospitals of Vietnam, John Kerry revealed just yesterday that actually the Arabs are going to pay for this latest war. That's right. Arab states are going to pay for every American missile, every American bomb, and when it comes to it, as it will, every American bullet, every American boot on the ground in Syria. You may think I'm being apocalyptic. I'm following these events by the hour. In fact, now by the minute. President Obama began by trying to sleepwalk us into what he said would be a warning shot. A warning shot, of course, means one in which no one is hurt, but which serves as a warning to a vessel to veer and change its course. It has now become full-scale regime change that the United States is bent upon. If you followed the Senate hearings in the week, then you'll know that in order to gain the support of right-wing Republican hawks, Obama has now veered and changed course. And it's not going to be a shot across the bows, a warning shot anymore. It's full-scale war. And it was always going to be, because anybody who thinks that Syria and its friends will take lying down an attack, another attack, by the same Western Zionist coalition of the killing, lying down, better take a lie down and think again. This is going to be big, and it's now definitely going to happen. So I'm asking you what you think the coming war with Syria is going to look like and what its reverberations will be. As I predicted to you last week, 2 hours before the vote, the British Parliament threw out the idea of Britain participating in this war. And you could feel the pain of the British media at the results of British democracy. Only 11% of British people wanted to go to war with Syria, but the media thought that the parliamentarians should do it anyway, because for them, democracy is a sham. In fact, every day, the rancid leader writer Martin Kettle in The Guardian this morning arguing actually the parliament really was in favour of war, we should reword the motion and try all over again. Well, I say this, that the implications of this war will be felt when our children, as yet unborn, are still alive. This is going to change the world because it's going to spark a war across the Middle East region and across the world, which will become simply uncontrollable. It will be an uncontrollable brush fire of the kind you often see in sunny California. One last point about fires. You know that stinking hypocrite Obama is frequently seen in churches? Have you seen him creeping Jesus with his hands together praying? Did you see Christianity on his sleeve? Did you know that he used to attend churches in Chicago and sing along all happy clappy for Jesus and for God? Obama, the Syrian Christian town of Mullalla, is on fire this evening. This evening, its ancient Christian churches are on fire. Its priests and its parishioners are being butchered by Al-Qaeda, paid by you. Churches in which the language of Jesus himself is still spoken. The last churches in the world still speaking Aramaic, the language of Jesus, are now on fire. The faithful Christians fleeing for their lives and being murdered by Al-Qaeda, paid for by you. And you are about to become their air force. You're a disgusting hypocrite, Obama. You're a liar when you say you're a Christian. You care nothing about Christians. You care nothing about God. You don't believe in the prophets, peace be upon them. You just believe in the prophets and how to get a bigger piece of them for the people that backed you. Let's hear our first call. It's from Bakir in Denmark. Bakir, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Judge Galloway. I want to praise you for last week when you were one of the members in Parliament to deny Britain from going to war in Syria. But, George, you should know that Denmark is also a very key member of the United States. Last night, our Prime Minister said that we don't need proofs. We have U.S. as our friend to protect us.
Yes.
So
yes.
Our Prime Minister is also the biggest hypocrite alongside with Barack Obama. And, George, I want to ask you about this question. You think Barack Obama is a dictator, right? Because he is going against his own people, but also probably against his own Congress.
Well, he's not a dictator. He was elected to office. He's persuaded the Senate, which is no great feat, to back his war. I predict that he will not manage to persuade the House of Representatives, which is the reason I believe he's going to go early into this war, so as to avoid doing it after the embarrassment of a congressional defeat. But we'll see, Bakker. Thanks a lot. I knew that Denmark was morally supporting this exercise in mass murder launched by the biggest criminals in the world. These are only my views, of course. They're not the views necessarily of Press TV or anybody else. And I want to hear your views, especially the next one. Farida in London is going to tell us what she thinks the war is going to look like. Farida, welcome back.
Good evening, George.
Good evening.
I have a theory. You might disagree with it. But the proxy war that the West is going to be fighting on behalf of the Sunni Arabs, it is My question is vis-a-vis Sunni versus Shia. George, could it be possible that the Almighty has decided that the Ummah has come to such a pass that we have to shed blood in order to have some kind of reformation so that we can get the true elements of Islam within the entire Muslim world? I'm not just talking about Syria or Iraq. Or we have to get our act together. And perhaps this is his way of saying to us that you are not going to succeed with the old axioms that you have been using. We have to rethink, we have to reposition ourselves in order to get the onslaught of the Western world out of the Middle East. Otherwise, we are going to end up by playing their games for them. Perhaps this is, it sounds terribly callous, but I swear to you, I have a feeling that we are going to shed a lot more blood before we come to our senses.
Well, Farida, I never try to second-guess the Almighty, so I have no idea what might be in his mind. But I'll tell you what's in my own mind about what you said. First of all, the vast majority of Sunni Muslims are absolutely against Al-Qaeda and the future for Syria that they portend were they to win this war. Everybody knows the kind of Syria that we would have, one where people have their heads sawn off, people are murdered and massacred because they hold their hands this way, not that way, or because they have a slightly different take on Islam from others. And of course, Christians will have no chance at all in that kind of Syria. Just like in Iraq, they will flee, and the language of Jesus and the religion of Jesus will disappear virtually entirely from the Middle East and will relocate to points in North America and in Europe. And thirdly, I don't believe in the letting of blood. This is a primeval medical practice where people thought that ailments and illnesses, sickness, plague, and so on, could be cured by cutting open the patient and letting blood. I don't believe in that. Letting blood leaves everyone weaker. As Mr. Gandhi said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. There are no differences between Sunnis and Shiites which can be more significant than the fact that Israel and the United States are about to launch another murderous attack on another Arab country. As the late Ayatollah Khomeini put it, whilst some Muslims are arguing about which way their hands should be during prayer, the people who hate all Muslims are getting ready to chop off all their arms. I couldn't put it better than that. Jeff's on the line in Lincolnshire. He'll tell us what he thinks. Jeff, welcome.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome, sir.
Just two short points, if I may. I was wondering, some of the listeners may not be familiar with the fact that the United States has actually signed the Chemical Weapons Convention of 1992, ratified in 1993, and that in 2011, the United States, under this very present president, Obama, demanded a decade-long extension of the deadline to which the United States could keep its chemical stocks. The deadline was supposed to make sure it obligated all signatories to dismantle all their chemical stocks by the end of April 2012. In November 2011, President Obama requested that America be given another decade-long extension to this. It's in blatant violation of its treaty obligations. This is a country that, just in the past couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, has openly admitted that, well, we already know that it sold Saddam Hussein five different strains of anthrax.
But you're right. It admitted last week, because it had no choice, that it had told Saddam Hussein the very places to fire those chemical weapons, that the dictatorship, as was in Baghdad used willy-nilly throughout the eight-year war against Iran, with the full support of the US and the UK. Of course, hypocrisy is bottomless, a bottomless pit, if we begin to even begin to look at the depths of it. And I mentioned the chemical weapons ocean they dropped on Vietnam. I could have mentioned the British and American siege of Fallujah in Iraq, in which gas was used in profusion by the American forces, protected in a ring around Fallujah by British, indeed Scottish, forces. I could have mentioned the use of chemical weapons by Israel, armed and financed by the United States of America, against the besieged people in the biggest concentration camp in the world, otherwise known as the Gaza Strip. But I want to make this point about sarin gas. I made it in Parliament in my speech the other day. David Cameron said today at the G20 that it was sarin nerve gas that was used. It is implied deliberately by liars like him and others that this means the Syrian regime was involved in the use of this sarin nerve gas. As I pointed out last week, you do not have to be Einstein to get your hands on sarin nerve gas. Indeed, in May of this year, just a few months ago, Carla Ponti of the United Nations revealed that the Syrian rebels were in possession of and had used sarin nerve gas. Why do we never hear this in the mainstream media, as they like to call themselves? And as I also said last week, just under 20 years ago, a group of Shinto obscurantists living on the slope of Mount Fuji, outside Tokyo, released sarin nerve gas in the Tokyo underground, killing many, maiming many more. But if it had worked, they might have killed hundreds of thousands of people. They were a group of maniac, fundamentalist lunatics. The idea that a state must be involved if sarin is used is utterly, utterly wrong. Now, here's some breaking news. ISAF says another US-led soldier has been killed by militants in Afghanistan. That's going well, isn't it? That war in Afghanistan. The war in Iraq went well, didn't it? 1 million dead, 3 million Iraqis scattered around the world, Iraq broken into sectarian and ethnic pieces. That went well. Syria going to go any better? What do you think? Christina is in Portugal. Christina, welcome back to the show. Christina, are you there?
How are you? Good evening, George.
Good evening. Go ahead, sister.
Listen, my dear. Now then, I got two things for you.
Yeah.
Was Obama a hypocrite to accept the Peace Prize when he says he's going to go into Syria?
Well, George Bush is complaining, Christina. He's saying, I did a lot of bombing. I killed a lot of people. I started a lot of wars. Why can't I have a Nobel Peace Prize?
Brilliant for Georgie. And I was also going to say, wasn't it absolutely brilliant that Cameron put it to the Parliament and they said, no, we didn't want to get involved. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Christina, thanks as always for the call in sunny Portugal. Let's go now to Sweden and talk to Mahmoud. Mahmoud, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, yeah. Very sad, very disappointed, Galloway. I had a comment, and also I have many questions that I'll ask your viewers, and including you.
Yep.
And naturally, I'll get an answer. The comment I want to give is that this world, as I said last week, that is not going to be limited to Syria. It will spark all over the world. It will even cause a third world war. Now, the question now is this, is that when will the American people learn that these people that they elect, this senator or whatever, this guy, Congress or the president, are not serving them, that they are serving Israel? When will the world learn that Israel is number one threat to the global security? When will the world learn that? That's a question I ask you and the viewers and everybody who is listening. It's a homework for you to send and ask people. When the last question that I'll ask is, when will the world know that Netanyahu, he is the one who is trying to destroy, orchestrating all this war? Obama knows exactly the consequences of this war. That's why he backs out the last minute. And Netanyahu, the mouthpiece of the Israeli media in Israel, they call him a weak and coward leader.
Well, look, Mahmoud, of course, Mahmoud, there's nobody in second place to me when it comes to naming and shaming the crimes of the state that they call Israel and the gangster who leads it. But I'm sorry to say that they are not the number one problem in this question. The number one problem in this question is the Arab regimes who Kerry revealed are paying for it. We have Arab regimes who are giving vast sums of money for every missile, every bomb to kill other Arabs and Muslims in Syria. That's the number one problem, Mahmoud. Those corpulent, kleptocratic kings and emirs who are paying the bill for the great crime that's coming very soon. 208-601-4555, that's the number to call me. Musa in the Gambia in Africa has. Musa, welcome to the show. Musa, you have to put...
Yes, Mr. Galloway, thank you so much.
Welcome, go ahead, sir. Musa, your television... Musa, your television has to be down at zero.
Okay.
Go ahead, brother, quickly.
Yes, Mr. George Galloway, how are you?
By the grace of God, good. I'm in fighting form, by the grace of God.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, and I am praying that God Almighty may grant you the good health and the strength to continue doing the good job you're doing.
Inshallah. Thank you, Musa. Go ahead.
I just pray that we have a lot of so many people like yourself who will be brave enough to come out and speak the truth. I just want to say a few things about the impending war that is coming to Syria. I'm afraid, George, there is a hadith, a prophecy by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in the latter days there would be a war which will emanate from Syria, in which most of these world powers would be destroyed for good. And I'm very much disappointed at our Muslim brothers, especially Saudi Arabia, Turkey, those who are supposed to be there to defend the integrity and the correctness of Islam. Unfortunately, they are playing in the hands of the enemies of Islam. I just wish that God may help Islam, George. And
well, look, Musa, thanks, like thanks for that call. I hope it's not the end times. I know there are many of you out there who think that it might be. I pray that it is not, but if it is, indeed, the prophecy will have been vindicated, and spectacularly so. China has sent warships off the coast of Syria. Russia already has its warships, not just off the coast, but in the harbors of Syria. Iran knows that after Syria, they're coming for her. This is going to be a war like no other. And Obama should know that the hornet's nest into which he's about to plunge all of our hands will lead to millions being stung, including himself. God willing, I'll be back in just 3 minutes' time with the second half of Comment after this short news break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still and always, the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate. And if you have different views to mine, then your call, SMS or email will be given priority. In the town of Ma'alula, 56 kilometres from the capital, Damascus, the last Christian speakers of Aramaic, the language spoken by Jesus, are on the run trying to save their lives. Priests and nuns have been murdered, faithful Christians slaughtered, churches burned. The Syrian army is now trying to retake the town and rescue the Christians. Christians, capital C, speaking the language of Jesus Christ, massacred, murdered by Al-Qaeda, paid for by us. So when you hear these disgusting hypocrites, when you see them in Westminster Abbey, or you see that disgusting hypocrite Obama happy clapping in Christian churches in the United States, remember this, that the Christians of Syria are being murdered and massacred by Al-Qaeda, paid for and armed by Britain and the United States and France and the other hypocrite so-called Christian leaderships in the world. May God preserve Ma'alula. May God save as many Christians as can be saved from the inferno which has been launched against them. It's a beautiful village. I've been there. The monastery there is one of the most serene places on the earth. Actually, the best place in the Arab world to be a Christian is Syria. But these hypocrites in the so-called Christian West don't give a toss about that. As I said, their leaders care nothing about the prophets. Peace be upon them, and everything about the prophets and how to get a bigger piece of them. Abbas is on the line in Iran. Abbas, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm so happy to talk to you.
Excellent. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Obama asserts right to strike Syria without congressional approval. I think this is a good idea because the world should know that everything is according to a basic law in this world. I myself am from Iran. Iran shouldn't meddle with the war of Syria. Obama, as a commander-in-chief, he always preserves the right and the responsibility to act on behalf of America's national security. He doesn't believe that he was required to take this to Congress. But he didn't take this to Congress because he thinks it's an empathy exercise. It's better to say Obama believes that Congress will approve it because he thinks that America recognizes that as difficult as it is to take any military action, even one as limited as we are talking about. I think Obama's decision is a safe and a sober one in this world. I don't know exactly what's your own idea about it.
Well, we've lost Abbas in Iran. My own idea is that by next Thursday, when, if God wills it, I'm standing here in front of you, we'll be at war. Doreen's on the line in Vancouver, in Canada. Doreen, welcome to the show. Doreen?
Hello?
Yes, Doreen, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, George. Yeah. Thanks for letting me have some time here.
You're welcome.
But
go
I
on.
I want to say about the Nuremberg trials after the Second World War.
Yeah.
It was said when they were the Nazis at that time, that any country that military attacked another sovereign nation would be a war crime. And the
it
U.S.
Said, Doreen,
implemented that.
Doreen, it said it was the ultimate war crime. Making aggressive war against another state is the ultimate war crime. Go ahead.
That's great. And the U.S. was the one that implemented that law to it. And if they'd have used that defense for Bradley Manning, he may have got off and not got a 36 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Because what's going on now is really disgraceful. I watched that on the 3 hour with Kerry and Madman McCain.
Yeah.
Insane.
Who
McCain.
Who was playing poker on his iPhone during
and
the
now,
hearings?
Yeah, and there was a Senate Tom Marion who asked Chuck Hagel, "Who are the bad people that were helping out? Who are the people that were helping out in Syria?" And he had trouble telling. He didn't know who we were for. Who are they going to put in if they take Saddam out? What they don't have a plan for that. They really don't. And as far as the chemical weapons, George, if they had proof, they would have given to Cameron so he could have presented to the UK Parliament.
Here's a point, Doreen, that hardly anyone has picked up, but I spot it. According to François Hollande in Paris, 238 people were killed in the chemical weapons attack. According to David Cameron, 338 people were killed in the chemical weapons attack. According to John Kerry, it was 1,488 people who were killed in the chemical weapons attack. These people can't even get their story straight. If it was really almost 1,500, why didn't the US tell David Cameron? Why did they allow Cameron to understate the death toll in the attack by five times? They can't even get their intelligence coordinated across the alliance of the war parties. Doreen in Vancouver in North America, thank you very much indeed. Let's stay in North America and talk to Ogropiri in Georgia in the United States. Ogropiri, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, George.
Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Good everyone. George, Syrian crisis, I think, came after the climate change problems, which I say never stops while I don't stop by Jews got power. And I was many times calling and say that after crisis will be people rise up against his government and presidents in all countries. And that's why came the crisis in the Arabian Spring, Arabian countries, and came Arabian Spring. Now it's continue to Syria also. So I think need to stop crisis, the climate change problems and
all right, but I'm sorry. I know this is your particular preoccupation, but we're not talking about climate change this evening. And my apologies. That was Georgia in the Caucasus rather than Georgia in the United States. Let's talk to Condi in the Netherlands. Condi, welcome to the show. Condi?
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Galloway. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think we live today in a democratic world. And the international community should be given power to carry on justice. If 198 countries of the world voted that if chemical weapons are used in any part of the world, it is a crime against humanity. Why is it that the United States of America cannot refer to the United Nations and then we have a vote between those 198 countries, and if the United States can win the vote in the United Nations, then they can go ahead. But without the United Nations going to vote, United States has no right to carry on any
role. No, you're right. It is what they are planning to do next week, I believe, is absolutely illegal. Indeed, as Doreen in Vancouver pointed out, under the terms of the Nuremberg laws laid down at the end of the Second World War, it is the ultimate crime which Obama intends to carry out next week. I wonder if anyone really imagined that we'd be in the territory of Obama dripping in blood, just like his predecessor, the imbecile George W. Bush. Who'd have thought it? Charles is on the line in Sydney, Australia, and he's very, very welcome because it's the middle of the night there. Charles, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Galloway. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the night. Actually, I woke up at 3:30 or so, and it's about 5:45 a.m., and I'm sort of looking at you.
Well, I hope it's not too frightening at this time of the morning.
I love you as a person. Thank you for
Charles.
Standing up for us people who want peace on this planet.
Thanks, Charles.
Look, my origin is from Iran. I am a Christian in Iran. I love Iran. I respect Iranians. They're good people, and I love Syria. I'm very concerned about Syria. I can't just leave it like that. I have to, you know, I do my best to get on to the local Australians here in order to voice my opinion about all these Zionist wars and what's going around the world. But we can't, there's no voice here. The media is in a blackout situation at the moment. There is elections happening, and when you listen to news here, they only tell you what they want you to hear, and it's really bad. So that's why I look at, and I put a lot of comments on Press TV under the name of Charles, and also I do listen and look at RT. These are the only places I go to and to get my news, and when I see you speaking, I had to talk to you because I missed you in Australia, unfortunately. Last time when you were here, it was so quick. But yes, look, I am one of those people that speaks Christ's language, and I'm concerned about what they're doing to Syria and to the Christians.
Well, I'll tell you what, Charles, when they wake up, I'd give a call to the hierarchy of the Australian churches and ask them if they know that Ma'alula in Syria is on fire, where the Christians have been massacred by Al-Qaeda, and ask them what they're going to do about it. I predict that, but it's worth a try. Charles in Sydney and all my friends down under in Australia, thanks for that call. Hussein in London is next. Hussein, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Hussein.
Hi, George. How you doing?
By the grace of God, good. Go ahead, sir.
Fantastic. George, I'm looking on the internet. I always knew this was the case. I suspected it. The fact is that oil and gas find offshore Syria. Motive for U.S. Israeli mercenary uprising and bloodshed in Syria. It goes on to say the U.S. Geological Survey reported that the Levant Basin, which covers Israel, Syria, Lebanon, Cyprus, and Palestine, contains around 122 trillion cubic feet of gas and at least 1.7 billion barrels of oil.
Yep,
so there
you're
you
right.
go. If in case nobody knew about this, this
no,
is the reason why there's going to be a war.
It's absolutely correct, Hussein, and you're right to bring it up. I supplement it only thus. Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox News and Sky News and The Times and its sister paper, The Sun and The Sunday Times, has been granted the rights to oil reserves on the occupied Golan Heights. Funnily enough, none of the aforementioned media outlets owned by Mr. Murdoch has made the slightest reference to the fact that their own proprietor is going to profit mightily from Syrian territory. But only, of course, if the regime is changed. Hussein, thanks for a great call. Bani Mostafazi is in Geneva, in Switzerland. Welcome to the show, Bani.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you. Good evening, George Galloway.
Good evening,
I
sir.
I wish you all the best. We Thank need you. Many people like you on this planet Earth.
Thank you, sir.
I hope, really. Now, I wanted just to come first to regarding to Mr. Edward, which should be one of the first major news these days, but we don't talk about it because they brought up this show of chemical weapon used by Syrian government. Now, I wanted to know, we cannot put our finger on the producers and the countries who they supply them, like they did during the war with Iraq and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the defense minister at that time, he came and he took Saddam Hussein in his arms to congratulate him using the chemical weapon with the help of Exocet of French missiles. Mm-hmm. We cannot back up those and bring it together today with the crime
well,
that they're using
Bunny,
it.
Bunny, they haven't produced a shred of evidence, not a shred of evidence. President Putin of Russia keeps asking if you've got evidence that the Assad regime was not just bad, but mad to choose the day of the arrival of the UN chemical weapons inspectors in Damascus to launch a chemical weapons attack in Damascus. If you have a shred of evidence, let the United Nations see it. But of course, they won't, because they are lying through their disgusting teeth. Mohammed is on the line. He's in Canada. Go ahead, Mohammed. Mohammed, you're on the air.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on the show.
Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
I would like to comment about what's going on in Syria.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is, why is it that the United States, especially President Obama, insisting on attacking Syria? Like, when everybody else now knows the truth and are really, like, trying to stay away from this situation, knowing that it's a dangerous situation that would injure not the Muslim world, the Israel, and the rest of the world. And they're using the chemical attack, trying to, as a pretext to attack or invade Syria. Everybody knows it's false. Everybody knows that the Syrian rebel have been caught by the Turkish authority at the border with the sarin gas.
Yeah.
How come the mainstream media is not talking about it?
I've never known anything like it, Mohammed. Even during the Iraq war, we were marched with militarized mendacity to the war in Iraq on exactly the same canards about weapons of mass destruction. But even in the Iraq case, there was not the monolithic mass lying by the mass media, some of it paid for by us, by the way, compulsorily, in the case of the BBC. There was not the mass unadulterated lying by omission and commission. Carla Ponte's report in May has never been mentioned. These very rebels, she said, on behalf of the UN, had used sarin gas in May, the case that you just referred to yourself, where they were arrested by Erdogan's police carrying sarin gas over the border, has never been mentioned in the so-called mainstream media in North America, I'll warrant, any more than it has here in Britain. Mohammed, thanks for the call. Out there in Canada, Imran's closer to home. He's in Manchester, in England. Imran, welcome to the show. Imran?
Hiya.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hiya, George. It's Imran from Oldham.
Ah, okay. Just outside Manchester, forgive me.
Yes, just outside Manchester. I'm going to say a couple of things about the Syrian issue. Now, one of the things that I want to start with, if the United Nations resolution, if anybody goes to attack anyone without United Nations resolution, and if it becomes illegal, then how come it's not illegal for United States? That's one of my questions to you. And another question...
It is. Well, let me answer that first. It is illegal. But who's going to enforce it? This is all a myth, Imran. Legal, not legal. Who's going to enforce it? Which court is going to indict Barack Obama for waging illegal war? None of them will do so. It's all a farce. Anyway, Imran, go ahead.
So is that means the United Nations has no power?
None at all.
So that means, I would say, it is part of United States. United Nations is just for show, but it is part of United States. If they can't say anything against United States.
It's lipstick on a pig. Thanks for the call, Imran. Sorry to cut you short. I must hear from Joseph in Minneapolis. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hi, Mr. Galloway.
Go on, you're on the air. You're the last call. Go on.
I thank you, first of all, for taking my call. And I thank your TV to talk about the Congo. And I am very, very in deep in my heart to see people from Syria to be killed in that way, and to be killed in the future in this bombing which United States is going to bomb over there. That is deep in my heart. But here is my question. You know, the people from Syria, they have the same blood like the people from Congo. The people from Congo have been killed with Tony Blair,
yes,
Bill Clinton, and Margaret Albright.
Yes.
Today, the people from Syria, they're going to cry the same way as the people from Congo. They've been crying the 5 million. They've used Rwanda and Uganda to bomb Congo, to kill than 5 million.
Joseph, I've got to stop you because I'm running out of time. But I want to say to you, this is a subject really occupying my mind because I'm currently making a movie, a documentary movie, I hope a feature-length one. You can read all about it at The Blair Doc on Facebook and Twitter. You can go to Kickstarter.com and see it. Tony Blair, Paul Kagame, Rwanda and Uganda are responsible for millions of dead people in the Congo, the land where the greatest of all African leaders was murdered by imperialism. Patrice Lumumba, may God have mercy upon his soul, could have emerged as the Lion of Africa, could have led the Congo to a future that it deserves, but it has been robbed of it by the same imperialist powers who are revving up their engines and firing their Tomahawk cruise missiles, getting them ready to fly and murder Syrians in large numbers. But if they think Syria is going to take it lying down, they've got another thing coming.
Can I have your telephone number? Okay, so I'll call you back to you. Make sure your television button is turned down to zero.